Man, let's go in our Bibles tonight to Psalms 133. Psalms 133. It is a blessing to get to preach to all of you here. Tonight's a special night because we're going to get a garbage plate after church. Amen. So that's a blessing. Amen. For real, you can come too, Pastor. You're invited now. If anyone wants to come, you can come. Chris is buying, right? Didn't you just said? Amen. The whole church can come if they want. I don't care, but... yeah, amen. Psalms 100 and chapter 133, chapter 133. Let's read verse number 1. Let's read it together out loud. Let's start. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let's pray before we go into Father. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I do thank you for the promises that you've given us tonight. Lord, I thank you for the faith that we have to believe in those promises. Lord, I thank you for the many times that you show us that your promises are true, that we're not dependent on something that we've never seen, that we have seen evidence of you in our lives. Lord, I do look forward to the day when we will finally get to see you face to face. Until then, Lord, help us to be faithful here. Help us, Lord, as the verse teaches, to dwell together in unity. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. It says here, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, I grew up with my brother, Rick, mostly, and my dad can testify, we didn't always have unity when we were playing games. We would go out, and it didn't come to fists, because he was scared of me, but we would get in our fair share of arguments. And now I see those same things in my children. Sometimes they go and they play together and you just hear laughter and giggles from the room. And then sometimes the whole time they're playing together, it is nothing but, no, don't do that. No, it's mine. Don't touch. No, Mom. And you're supposed to be having fun right now. But an hour of fun time has turned into a nonstop battle of wills between three little girls and my son. Any parent here who sends their children, no, go play for a while. You know when there's pleasant and it's good when they have unity. When things are going, they're all working together to get a job done. Just the other day, we were trying to help Dad. We're bringing in some firewood to the house. And I sent out the three older ones. So each of you go get two pieces of wood at a time. Bring them from the woodshed into the basement and do it at least 5 times. My daughter, who's the oldest, Anna, comes up quickly. Oh, I'm done. How big were the pieces were you grabbing? Were they the little twigs or were you getting some decent pieces? And so I sent her back out and I didn't hear any complaining. So this is nice. I didn't hear any fighting from them. And I went down and I brought up a couple wheelbarrows for them and dumped them by the door so they have less to travel. And man, we got the job done in no time. All the kids said, we were working long, and wow, this is already full. And as I was doing that with them, I remember the times where my dad would send me and Rick out, and Ryan even sometimes when they were desperate, and say, go fill the wood rack. And I can still hear my dad's voice ringing in my ears. Why isn't that done yet? You guys should have been done in 15 minutes. Why is it? It's been an hour. And we would spend the whole time, you didn't bring enough. Why aren't you carrying it? No, you hand it to me. No, I don't want to hand it to you. Hand it to me. No, you pull the wheelbarrow. No, I'm going to fill it. You push it. And nothing ever got done because there was no unity. That is the same in the family as it is in the church house, as it is as a job site. Wherever you are, the Bible is true where it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Some of the sweetest times in your life can be when there is unity. When people are thinking as one. It's not what do you want and what do I want. It's no, what can we do? One person. We get born into this family of unity, the Bible teaches us in Ephesians, when we come into the faith. There's unity in the faith. So as soon as you're saved, speaking of the church now, you're born into a family. And you didn't get to really choose your brothers and sisters, amen? A lot of you got saved, the church was already here. Mrs. Wilson might have spoke to the founding of the church. No. She says, yeah, she was here, amen? Most people came into the building where there was already a family of God meeting. And you had to find your place in a spirit of unity into a family that was already established. We're adopted into the family of God when we get saved. Into His family. And it's important to remember that. It's not my family. We're adopted into His family. When you're in His family, you have to live by His rules. Because you're in His house. You're in His family. We get into a lot of trouble when we try to make God do it the way I want it to be done. Just as much as a child would get into trouble when they look at their parents and say, "No, you're going to do it my way." No, it doesn't work that way. We get born into this family. As Pastor Russo said already tonight, John 13 teaches us that people will know we are the disciples of God when we have love one for another. That is how the church stands out from the world. They look at a group of people, hundreds of people, in some churches, thousands of people, that can come together and do things in unity. That is not normal. That is against our nature. And we'll see how many times in Scripture, as I was studying this out, it surprised me. And I think in my mind, all the verses just kind of blended together. Because as you start to read them, where Paul talks about being of one mind, being of one spirit, having love one for another, having unity, having one body. And I think in my mind, all the verses just kind of came together. And I thought, oh yeah, there's two or three. And you go look at it. No, it's almost in every epistle he writes. He speaks of the need of unity in the church. Peter writes about it. John writes about it. Jesus Christ speaks about it. It is necessary for us in the church to have unity. I would argue that it's probably one of the most discussed themes in the New Testament, especially in the epistles, is the need to have unity in the church. Now, why would Paul mention it over and over and over again? Some churches, it's not just mentioned once to every letter he wrote to a church. Sometimes it's mentioned over and over in the same letter. Because it can be very hard to do. Because naturally we want to defend what we think is ours. I want to do my will, my family, my group, my opinion. You start talking about sports teams. You can see this start to come out. No, you don't get it. My guy is the best. Your guy is the worst. No, my guy is the best. And we identify with things and then they become ours. And that happens in politics. One of the big things a politician can make you do is just, he's your guy. Because then you will defend anything they do to the death. Because why? You consider them part of you. It's me. This is who I am. Star Wars. Getting an argument about what's the good movies, what's the bad movies. People defend you. You'll be surprised how much passion people have for these things that don't matter. Why? Because it's part, I think it, and it's mine, and I'm going to defend it, and I'll fight, and I'll say whatever I need to say. And they defend what's theirs. Now you try to get 100 people with different opinions together and say, now you have to live together in unity. No fighting, no backbiting, no murmuring, no complaining. Unity. That is something that needs God in order to happen. It needs that each and every one of us has our relationship with God. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read a big portion of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I remember one time when we were young adults taking a ride with Jay Landers in the van. Anyone remember Jay Landers? Passionate, energetic guy. And we started talking about unions. And I said, I don't think you need unions anymore. After about 3 minutes, we realized this is not a conversation I can have with Jay Landers. He was incredibly passionate because he's part of it. It's part of his life. And me, I'm just looking at it from the outside. And we did, never mind. We don't need to have this discussion. Because things get heated. And sometimes that happens with us. I'll save that for another time. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not there yet. Let's start reading in verse number 12. 12:12. I'm in 2. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. If you're saved here today, the Scripture teaches us that we are part of the body of Christ. One body, having many members. When he says members, it's not like I'm a member of the church, I'm 18 and I've joined. No, if you're saved, you're part of the body of Christ. Each person here is a member in the body of Christ. And although we're one body, it says here, we are many members. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. We are all, each and every one of us, are part of this body. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And we know the answer to that. Right? No. It doesn't matter if the foot says it's not part of the body. It is part of the body. If you're saved here today, you're part of the body of Christ. Now, one of the challenges that we face here, especially in this area, there's a lot of good churches around. And it's easy to say, well, I don't really like this one. I'm going to go join another body. And they jump from one to the other because there's another body over there and we can jump over there and be part of that. Now, if the Lord leads you, amen. Amen. Find the right church. Get involved. But once you're part of a church, be part of that body. Amen. There's things your body is going to happen that you're not going to like. But if you're part of the body, what do you do? We were playing basketball on Monday. Brother Primer showing off his skills. Amen. Did some fancy thing going around the back, under the legs, doing layups. And I thought, I'm thankful you're almost 50 because if you were young, forget it. There wouldn't be a game. We'd just pass the ball to Brother Primer and he'd score every single time. But there's things, you know, wake up the next day and guys, whoa, that didn't used to happen when I was 20 or 18. It's your body. The aches and the pains that come with it are part of it. And as a church body, it would be foolish to think everything is always going to be perfect. There will be times when division comes up, when strife comes up, when fighting comes up. That's not the time to say, oh, forget it, I'm out. That's the time to fix the problem, address it, forgive one another, and make the body whole again. Because if we are one body, we need to work together as one body. It goes on to say in verse number 16, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, what were the smelling? It's important to remember that just because you might not be in a leadership role or in charge of a ministry or people don't come to you with needs in the church, that doesn't mean you're not important. Every part of the body is important. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body. This is important. Look at this phrase. As it hath pleased him. God sets the members as it pleases him. It's important to remember that we're not here working for our own will. We're working for the will of the Father. Amen. And if they were all one member, what were the body? But now are they many members, but yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Church member, I want to tell you here tonight, you are necessary. You are needed. Every person that is part of this church is a needed part. Nobody here is an extra. No one here is second string. No one here is, if we get super, super desperate, we might consider. No, God has placed you here for a purpose. You are a needed member of this body. You're not less important or more important than anybody else. Amen? We are all part of the body of Jesus Christ. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. People spend a lot of money trying to fix up their faces. You ever seen somebody, and you know, but just by looking at them, they just had Botox done. And you could tell because things are a little bulgy and tight and not quite right. You can look at somebody and say, they changed their nose. Something is different there than it was before. We spend a lot of, what purpose does this right here serve, brother?
I don't think it does.
It doesn't do much. But people spend a lot of money making sure this part doesn't go down here. That it stays here. People spend a... Does the outside of your nose help you smell? No, but people spend a lot of money making sure it's the right shape. Why? We're trying... That's an emphasis on things that don't really matter. And church, it can be incredibly easy to start putting an emphasis in the church on things that don't matter. Amen? When we were talking about the platform, and it's going to be done soon. Amen? We're waiting for the carpet people to have the carpet in. Amen? And we're anxious to get it done. But you know, we're talking and planning and all these ideas, and then we have to change it. Oh no, the wood stuff wasn't working for the steps. We have to go with carpet. Oh man, it's not going to look as nice. And then, no, this is just a platform. I mean, is this the body of Christ? Are we working for the building here? No, it's important. We should take care of it. It is the house of God. But what we work for are the people that are in it. Amen? That is what is important. Whether or not a Sunday school teacher you think was a little too harsh on your kids saying their Sunday school verse, that's not as important, amen, as winning souls. That's not as important as someone coming to Christ. That's not as important as a family getting grounded in the Word of God. Don't let the devil take little things and use it to divide the church. It says in verse number 25 that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. My family's here in the church. Is the Bible telling me I should care for you as much as I care for my family? Yes, it is. We should have the same care one for another. We should look out on people and see their needs as our needs. We should look out on people and see their burdens as our burdens. Verse number 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Some more particular than others. Amen. And God hath set some in church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And we know the next chapter immediately goes on to talk about what? Charity. Because in order for this, all these people to function as one, we're going to need to have charity. Charity, it's so important. Why do we need unity in the church? Because there is an enemy. The church needs to thrive in a place of hostility. There is hostility without the walls of the church. The more we see the governments getting more and more hostile to religious things. The culture of the world is changing where people don't want to be called Christians per se. And what Christianity... I just read an article today about the Pope talking about how they can't be so rigid in their doctrine or they'll be left behind. If I was a Catholic, it would be a good time to stop being a Catholic with this current Pope. Rigid? The Bible is rigid. God is rigid. Amen? God doesn't change because we change. He sets what's right and what's wrong, and we're supposed to follow Him. But the world, those institutions that used to be the rigid ones, are now looking to... No, we need to change to fit in with everyone else. That's not what the Bible teaches. And in order for us to stand, we need to stand together as one. As one. We're in a world of hostility. In the very beginning, let's go to Genesis, chapter number 3. Y'all have heard the story before. Genesis 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And we know here that the serpent is Satan. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? One of the first things the devil does is put a division between Eve and God. Try to put a wedge. Because remember, God's coming down and is walking every evening with them in the garden. So the devil, in order to get her to sin, is going to say, "Hey, did God? You know that guy your buddy's with? Guess what I heard? He's just jealous. He doesn't want you to become like he is. He's keeping something from you." Putting division between man and the Creator. And what is sin but a separation between us and God? Amen? From the very beginning, the devil used division to destroy what was important to God. And even today, he's trying to do the same thing. It's easy for parents to want to defend their kids. I defend my kids because they're perfect. Right, Lydia? Amen. Yeah. And she, what? She's not a no. I would defend them. And you, Bobby, defend yours. And God put that in us. But to live as one, we need to be careful. That I don't say, what did you say to my daughter? How could you, your teacher, and you didn't call on her? She told me that you were mean to her in class today. That's it. I'm out of here. No, I don't want this person teaching my child because my child told me, well, did you check? Did you get facts? Did you talk to the teacher? Or are you letting division creep into the church? Oh, I don't know what they did in the nursery. You know, my baby didn't come home with a pacifier. I don't know what they're doing in there. They don't have good tabs on the kid. Is that promoting division or unity? Man, Brother Rice sometimes just can't quite get the song right. I don't know. Why is he? Are we promoting division or unity? There's enough hostility outside the church. We don't need to bring it into the church. We need to be as one to thrive in a world of hostility. We need to have unity in order to bear the burdens. And I only have 2 points tonight. We're already on point number two. We need to have unity to bear our burdens. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. One of the burdens we need to bear is the work of the ministry. The Great Commission that stands, the job of the church, to go out in the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and then to disciple them, to train them, to encourage one another, and to stay faithful in the world as Christians. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3 tells us, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one in another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy," and he goes on to verse 8 to talk about ministry and exhorting and teaching. And he goes on to verse number 16, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." He says here that every man, in verse number 3, at the end of the verse, it says, "According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Every one of us, God has given a measure of faith. We could say a calling. As he goes on to say, not everyone is going to be the pastor. Not everyone is going to be a teacher. Not everyone is going to be in ministry or... But he includes some things here. In verse number 8 it says, "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do with..." There is a role for everyone in the church. And everyone has a part. The church is an interesting thing. Where people willingly get together. They give of their money to support it. They give of their time to keep it going. And then they sit there and get hollered at for an hour or so by someone telling them how to change their lives. Amen? And you do it willingly with a smile on your face. Well, most of you have a smile on your face. Amen? It shouldn't work. But it works because it's the church of God. Amen? And it only works when all of us work together. If I was to say, "Brother Christian, a strong young man, could you please lift that piano and put it up on the platform? Let's do it. Amen. I'd be willing to, but I'm going to need some help. So then you get another three guys, and it's not such a hard job anymore, right? I'm not going to make you do it. I don't want to scrape the new floor or kill Christian here tonight in church. But when we bear the load together, it's a whole lot easier. I could pick up this pulpit and carry it down. And I could get it all the way to the gym. Nay, I could probably get it to the fire hall across the street. Anyone remember those old gray tables we used to have here? That weighed about 5,000 pounds. Are they still around? They might be in the basement hiding somewhere, lurking for the day we have to carry them again. I remember when we would set up for Thanksgiving dinner across the way, and you'd have to carry those tables. Woo! I am so thankful they came up with these white plastic ones. You can get one in each arm. I mean, those things, you're leaning back, trying to carry it. You want some help? No, 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 I got it. I'm a man. I can do it. I got it. After you did it once, I'm done. No, I'm good. Oh, there's about six more. Yeah, go get. You try that by yourself. As soon as you do a few, you're done. Forget it. I'm burnt out. You do it with a couple people. We get that job done faster, and we still have energy to do something else. That's what happens when we work together. Bus ministry can work with one person making visits. Will it thrive? No. Prayer meeting works with one person praying. Will it do the most it can do? Singing works if it's only Brother Rice up here. But is it the best we can do to glorify God? It functions much better when we work together and we all carry part of the load. But it takes the spirit of unity. I was thinking if we had Give It All Sunday this year and we just took suggestions. No, we're not doing that. Why? Because we wouldn't have unity. Somebody would say, well, I think we should give, Miss Humby might want to say, I think we should give the carpet the nursery. We could use a nice plush, awesome stuff in there. And then someone who works in the kitchen, oh no, have you seen the stoves in the kitchen? We need a nice commercial industrial stove in there. That would be fantastic. And then somebody else, have you seen the parking lot? I lost a tire in a pothole. I haven't seen it since. And each person could say, well, I'm going to give to what I want to give to. And we would have $50 given to everything and not enough money to get anything done. We need unity. People willing to say, I know that's my need, but I might think that's important, but I'm going to set that aside so we can get something done. Amen? Unity. We could see in the examples of Scripture, we're not going to go to the verses for sake of time, when they needed to build the tabernacle, how people came together and got the job done. Building the temple, Brother Rice was just talking to me about this. And when they rebuilt the temple, how quickly they were able to get the job done. Rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem because the people had a mind to work. When people get together in unity, willing to work and get a job done, great things can be accomplished for the Lord. But you have to be careful when you say, I don't know, that's not the way I'd do it. I don't know if I would. We're putting ourselves in front of the things of God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. We need unity in order to bear the burden, the work of the ministry, and the work of life. The work of life. And let me say to you all here tonight, if you have a need in your life, whether it's in ministry or whether it's in your daily life, we are one body in the Lord. Never be ashamed, embarrassed, or worried about, Pastor, I have a need. My electric bill is just not getting paid. Well, I don't know if I talk about that in front of people. You know, finances are private. No. I'm not saying get up here and give a testimony to the whole church, but we're one body. Oh, I'm having a real hard time with this in my life. Talk to people. Brother Rice was just preaching to the teens this morning. He said, you know what, you need to go to your parents with problems in your life. He said, as a parent, that's one of the things I would love the most, is if my kids would just come to me and tell me what they need. And I'm sure a pastor feels the same way. Because we can't help with a problem if you don't know what it is. If you keep all your burdens a secret and you're the only one trying to bear them, you're going to get worn out. Share your needs. Share them. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27 tells us, Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And whether I come and see you or else be absent, I make hear of your affairs. What does he want to hear? That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, and I like this, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's the work, amen? Striving together, working together of one mind, of one spirit. Chapter 2, verse number 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Scripture tells us to bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you need help, work together, and let's get things done. You know what I loved when we did the wood day? Hey, group of guys get together, get a whole year's wood done in just a day or so. I know some people were there ahead of time cutting down some trees, making it easier. That helps get things done. You got a broken lawnmower? There could be someone in the church who knows how to help fix it. We need to work together to get things done for the Lord. Not just in the ministry, but in life. Try to be a help to other people in the church. If you have a skill, let people know. Pastor Russo and I were talking, man, if someone knew how to cut hair, how neat would it be? Just a couple times a year. Maybe Sunday afternoon we'll hang out, do boys' haircuts. Saves me $15. Brother Sutler knows how to cut hair. He'll show you. Right here. Pair of clippers and a straight razor. That's all you need. What? I can't believe how much women pray to get their... My wife wants to get her hair cut. You know what that means? She wants to trim like that much off. And it costs $60. I could do that. I could try to do that. And then you only pay me half. Yeah, if there's someone who knew how to do that, that would be a help to the ministry. You have some free time, don't mind babysitting some kids? I'm sure there's plenty of parents who wouldn't mind calling you once in a while and saying, hey, can you help me out? Let's give to help one another. Brother Matt just helped us out make a new shield for the church. Looks fantastic. I love that thing. We gave it out, right? Okay, good. The Hubers, what class one? It's hanging up in there, amen. Looks great. Got some skill in something? Let's use it for help one another and help the work of the Lord. Amen. Let's go on to the last part. It says we need help with the hardship of life. The work of the ministry, the work of life, and then the hardship of life. Let's go to chapter 2, starting verse number 1 this time. Philippians 2, 1. If there be any consolation in Christ. Look at these words that he uses. Consolation in Christ. If any comfort of love. And any fellowship of the spirits, if any bowels and mercies. That's an interesting phrase, bowels and mercy. That means a deep, like, way inside, amen? That's a deep yearning, a deep desire to help, or a deep hurt. Sometimes you can be so stressed or sad that, I mean, it literally hurts inside. If you have love, it says verse number 2, fulfill ye my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And this part is so important. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Because the devil can use service as an opportunity to gain victory. Do you know how many times I've done this? Do you know how often I've given and they never gave back? Do you know how many times I, and they just make a mess. Have you seen how many times that I, and all that service you put in, the devil can then take and twist. If we don't remember this verse where it says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And then once again, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. As we are well aware in the church, there is hardship in life. There's unexpected sadness. There's health problems that come up. There's passings of people. There's challenges that we don't plan on facing. And alone, it's easy to get in despair. And despair is a dangerous place to be. I don't believe God ever wants us to be in despair. Mourning, yes. Hurting, yes. But never in despair. Because someone in despair is someone who has no hope. And we always have hope. Amen? But when somebody's hurting, the Scripture teaches us we can weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that do rejoice. When someone's feeling extra low, there needs to be someone there to bring them up a little bit. When someone is feeling super joyful, there needs to be someone to say, hey, let's start getting ready for the next battle that's coming down the road. When somebody is really good at the details and the planning and let's make sure everything's ready, there needs to be someone there to say, okay, well now it's time to take the step. Let's get going. And then somebody who's always, let's go, needs somebody to say, wait a minute, did you make a plan? When somebody is homeschooling and they're stuck in their house for 12 hours a day, they might need someone to call them up and say, hey, you want to go get a coffee? The world still exists outside your house. Amen? And then some people that are always away from home need someone to say, hey, when's the last time you did something with your kids? Your family. Somebody who's always in the nursery needs someone to remind them to wash their hands. Amen? And someone who's never in the nursery can forget what a blessing it is to not have screaming babies in here. For each job, there's a person to do it. And there's someone who should be the opposite side of that to help them. Amen? We all have a role in the church. We all have a purpose in the church. We all have a goal to fulfill. We all have a job to take on. We all have a plan. God's divine plan. Let's read one more section of verses here in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll be done for tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. I noticed that Pastor Russo was quite free with the specials and the singing tonight, because he didn't have to preach. Amen. Just let's sing some more, let's sing another one. When he's preaching, two and you're done. Amen. But hey, someone else is preaching. Amen. Amen. Unity in the church, Brother Sutliff. Unity. Amen. Ephesians 4, and we'll end with this, verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That's what I was just saying. Every one of us has a vocation. Walk worthy of that vocation. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring. Ooh, what a word is that? Endeavoring. That takes some work. That takes trying. You're endeavoring to do what? To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's not going to happen if you don't work at it. The tendency has got to be, well, I don't want to. No one appreciated. They said this to me. I don't know if I fit in. I don't think that should. You have to work to keep the peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And I love that verse because it reminds us that all the service is for God. Verse number 16, jump over to verse 16. This chapter reviews some of the things we've already read in the other books. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. It says, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every member supplies a benefit. Give something to the body. And I want to encourage you tonight, as you sit there in your seats, think about, what is it that I supply? What if I'm a joint in this body, what am I supplying? Why am I here? What is my vocation to which I'm called? I'm not saying you need to be in a ministry. Many people do, and we have a lot of people who serve. But there's people who just need to be praying. There's people who need to write a letter of encouragement. There's someone who just has to have a smile on their face and praise the Lord and encourage people to do the same. That's a vocation to which you're called. But everyone should have something they're doing here in the church. Let's finish to verse 16. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase. Making increase. Ask yourself, do I help increase the church? Am I making this body better for the glory of God? What do I do to help? What do I contribute to the church? Now, there might be times in your life where, man, you are just really hurting. Maybe you're battling with things and you're just kind of just trying to hang in there. Well, hang in there. Lean on others to get you through. and once you get through, then get back in. But if you've been here and you're not, you know, you're not in the middle of crisis mode, emergency, ask yourself, what am I doing to increase the body? Unto the edifying of itself in love. And then lastly, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I don't know if there is any infighting here in the church. I don't know if that Brother Sutliff is secretly angry at the Jabiskies and they're not talking to each other. That's why there's a row between them. But there might be something in your heart, and no one else might know, but you feel slighted by someone else in the church. Now's the time to be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I remember when we were in Mexico, we signed up the kids for Kung Fu. My kids are Kung Fu masters. Man, don't mess with them. And during one of the parts of the class, they would spar. Now, in sparring, they're not actually supposed to hit each other. Amen. They would go at each other, and one person would practice their kicks, and my son Isaiah got pretty good at his side kicks. I'd do it, but I might rip my pants or something. No, kick it up into the air, and you know, multiple times while he's hopping on the other foot. I'm like, ooh, that's pretty impressive. And they would get into these spars. And then one time my wife calls me. You won't believe what happened in class today. Ooh, what happened in class today? One kid, he's much bigger than Isaiah. I don't know why they were even fighting together. He's not even supposed to be in the class. And he hit him, and he's hitting him right in the face over and over. And Isaiah's bleeding. And I'm trying to get the teacher's attention, and the teacher isn't saying anything. And I go up to the teacher after, and it's better if you're not in here for these stories about you. Then I can make more stuff up. And man, he's just beaten, and there's blood, and he says, it's good for him. He did not say that about my son getting beat up. And, you know, they say that's the mama bear comes out, right? Yeah. Protect my kids. It's my thing. And that's my reaction. Maybe it's a guy thing. I'm like, it's good for him, right? Yeah, he got a little bloody lip or nose. He's good to go, right? He's not seriously hurt. He can get back in there, right? Did you ever spar again after that? Yes, many times. He's good to go. Be careful not to let a slight, a schism, a division get in. I think at that moment, my wife better have been ready to never let Isaiah go back to class. The devil is going to put little things all the time. All the time. And if you're not careful in the moment, it won't seem like a little thing. No, it's going to seem like the biggest thing in the world. And you have to be careful. Take a step back, pray, talk to people before you react. Because the devil, is, since the very beginning, has been working to destroy the church of God. And if you call pastors, you can hear story after story where he has succeeded in destroying churches. Be careful. Remember, this isn't natural for all of us to be together in unity. We want to break off and defend what's ours. But we put all that aside when we join the family of Christ. And now we work together for a much greater goal. Ask yourself tonight a couple questions. We're going to pray. I invite you to come pray at the altar. Ask yourself here tonight, is there someone I need to forgive? Am I harboring a slight in my heart? Is there something that I look at somebody and man, I'm reminded of that thing they said to me or did to me. Every single time I see him, and we're just not, I don't do things with that brother or sister. There's no room for that in the church. Ask yourself too, what am I doing? This joint that I have, what am I doing to increase the body of Christ? What is my vocation here? Let's pray, and I invite you to come to the altar if the Lord spoke with you here tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word. Bless this time now as we have, Lord, help us to work together as one body. Help us to, Lord, set aside our own pride and differences in order to fulfill your calling, Lord, to show the world that we are your disciples because we love one another. Lord, if there's someone here who needs to forgive someone, help them to be able to set aside that hurt tonight. Whether it's justified or not, Lord, there's just no room for it when we're serving you. Lord, bless this church. Help us to comfort one another. Help us to lift up one another. Lord, open our eyes that we might see a need in the life of somebody else. Lord, if there's someone here who has a need tonight, help them to not be scared to go to someone and share it, so we could help strengthen one another. Lord, you have so much for us to accomplish. Lord, you have so much that you want to protect us from. I pray, Lord, that we would just draw closer to you, and in doing so, we would draw closer to each other. Lord, that we would be of one mind and one spirit, serving the one true God. So in the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.